As Alan Watts said, the existence in this physical universe is basically playful. There is no necessity for it whatsoever. It isn't going anywhere. Welcome to A Walk Within, a show where we visit a short story from around the world and revisit life experiences invoked by it to explore the parallels between the two and find newer meanings. I'm Anoop, and in today's episode, we will explore an Armenian story, The Idiot, from a book titled The Golden Maiden and the Other Folktales and Fairy Stories Told in Armenia by A.G. Sikelmian, which resurfaced my own memory of an overnight train journey. Before we start, I want to thank all of you for your tremendous support of the show. Please consider sharing this with your friends and family and even co-workers. As always, let's start with the story once we are back. Once upon a time, there was a man who inherited much wealth from his father, but who led such an irregular and unwise life that in a short time he had spent everything, even to the last penny. Then he sat down, folded his arms upon his breast, and sighed as he thought of his unfortunate condition. His father's friends gathered about him to console him. One of them, an old and learned man, said to him,
"Son, you have offended your luck. Who has run away from you? You would better go after your luck. Perchance you can find it, and being reconciled with it become, as before, a fortunate man."
The man at once set out and travelled mountains and plains in the search of his luck. One night, he saw in his dream that his luck was a human being like himself, who had fallen upon his face on the top of a high mountain, sighing and beating his breast all the time, just as he himself had done. On the morrow, he got up and continued his journey towards that mountain. On his way, he met a fairy lion sitting upon a mound of earth beside the road.
"Don't be afraid, human being. Proceed."
And when the man approached, he said,
"Where are you going?"
"I'm going to find my luck," said the man.
"Good. Your luck is very wise. Ask him what is the remedy for my disease. I have been an invalid for 7 years. If you find the right remedy, I will reward you."
"Very well," said the man and went on his way. Soon, he came to a very beautiful orchard full of all kinds of fruits. He picked some of the fruits and began to eat. But lo, they were all bitter. Thereupon, the gardener came and asked where he was going. "I'm going to find my luck," said the man.
"Please ask your luck. What is the remedy for my orchard? I grafted my plants, but it was of no use. I cut down the old trees and planted new ones, but neither did this avail. If your luck can devise some remedy, I will reward you bountifully."
The man promised to ask his luck and again went on his way. Soon he came to a magnificent palace situated in the garden as beautiful as paradise, whose sole inhabitant was a beautiful maiden.
"What man are you and why have you come?"
The man told her his story.
"You see, I have this splendid palace and measureless wealth and property. But I have a grief which grows in my heart day and night, and I spent my life sighing all the time. Please ask your luck about me, and if you bring me a device to make me happy, I promise to reward you bountifully."
The man promised and went on his way until he came to the mountaintop where his luck had fallen on his face. He described to him his own unfortunate condition and poured out all his grievances. Luck listened to him attentively and said,
"Everything may yet be well.
seeing that you have come so far in search of me." Then the man asked of luck the things he had promised to ask and received answers. "Now will you not come with me?" asked the man. "Go first, I will come after you," the man returned. On his way back, he first met the maiden and said, "Your grief will disappear, and you shall be happy as soon as you marry a young man of your choice." Then he met the gardener and said, "There is gold ore in the spring from which flows the water with which you irrigate your orchard. The plants suck up the particles of gold, which causes the fruits to be bitter. You must either irrigate your orchard by the water of some other spring or take away the ore from the present mountain. Then your fruits will be sweet." Then he came to the fairy lion and told him how he had seen the luck and what messages he had brought to the maiden and to the gardener.
"And what present did the maiden give you?"
asked the lion. "She said she had fallen in love with me and proposed to marry me, but I refused."
"And what reward did the gardener give you?"
"He took the gold ore out of the spring and, refining it, prepared a horse load of pure gold. He gave all to me, but I refused, saying that I did not care to trouble myself and carry such a heavy thing so far."
"And what remedy did your luck devise for my ailment?"
"He said, 'The moment you devour an idiot's head, you shall be healed.'" The lion looked at the man in the face and said,
"By heaven, I cannot find a greater idiot than you on the face of the earth."
And striking at his head with his paw, he made one mouthful of it, and the idiot was dead. Remember the moral of this tale. Time never befriends a fool. That's the story of the idiot. Now, before we go deeper, let's visit my memory, which was invoked by this story. At 10 p.m. on a Saturday, I was standing on the Vadodara train station in the Indian state of Gujarat. It was a roller coaster of a day. After meeting with a couple of clients in Ahmedabad, I took the 4-hour bus journey to come to Vadodara, as there were direct trains to my destination, Indore, a city in the neighboring state. It was my birthday on Sunday, and I wanted to celebrate that with my close friends before I continue the grind back in Gujarat. This 8-hour overnight train journey between the two cities had two options. Take the Shanti Express at 10:30 p.m. and arrive early in the morning, or take the Avantika Express at 2:30 a.m. and arrive at 10:30 a.m. in Indore. Driven by the time constraint and hopes of a longer celebration, I chose to take Shanti Express at 10:30 p.m. All the hustle and bustle of an Indian train station was surrounding me. There were considerable amount of people waiting for train, some sitting on a light blanket being used as a rug and were enjoying homemade staple food. Large bags are being used as chair by some children. The sound of hard-working hawkers to sell samosas was as original as it was usual. I've always found their ability to sing chai in endless different ways mesmerizing. There were families entering the station with men walking purposefully with a heavy bag to some point in the station, followed by a woman carrying a small bag and lugging children. Couple of curious minds holding up their toddlers and checking out what's happening in the literature world at the bookstall, which for unknown reason always had supplies of snacks and candies for accompanying children. Suddenly, I heard a faint horn of an upcoming train, and like most of the people, immediately rushed near the track to see it, foolishly expecting to know which one is it, like the train would have a huge banner in front of it announcing what train it was. Then there were train indicators on track. Some of them are always broken and do not get updated till the train has come to a full stop. It was a big deal for me, For those who do not understand the severity of the situation, let me share the Indian train structure from that era. The train would usually have three types of coaches: the upper class air-conditioned cars, then the reserved cars, and then only three, or in some cases four, passenger coaches. Unreserved and cheapest ticket get you the opportunity to travel in this class. And yes, I mean it when I say opportunity rather than right. See, most of the folks traveled in this passenger class due to the obvious reason of cheaper price. The population of the country is no hidden secret, so to put it mildly, these passenger cars get crowded. So to find a place to sleep, sit, or even stand, you need the reflexes of a superhero to board the train while it's still in motion. Or you need to have enough strength to go through a sea of people, children included, and rush in as fast as you can. I possessed neither. Now, I will let you guess which ticket I had, and now you know why it was a big deal for me. Back to train. After inquiring with one of the hawker, I did find that this is the train I have to board, but it was too late. One of the passenger coach was near the front of the train, which is now at almost the opposite side of the station. My only options were the two coaches on the back end of the train. I rushed and huffed and puffed my way into the last car. Once you grab onto the handle of the door, you don't need to put in a lot of effort, as people behind you will push you in. As soon as I entered, like everyone, I was in a frantic search for an upper berth to find a place to sleep without getting physically disturbed by my fellow passengers. I was naive to think that I will find that. Predictably and disappointingly, I found none. Few people offered me spaces where I could sit, but the thought of traveling all night without sleeping and sitting tightly with other folks made me pass on that offer. I want to spend the day connecting and celebrating with my friends. After all, it's my birthday, and I'm getting to have a day off like this in months. Suddenly, the idea of letting this train go hit me. Most of the folks are already taking this train. The next one is in 3 hours, late in the night, so there would be fewer people. Most of the people who wanted to take this route are already here. Let's get off this train and wait for the next one. Convinced by my own logic, I deboarded the train and opted to observe the madness departing while enjoying a samosa and a chai. As the train departed, I observed a sudden emptiness in the station. Yes, there were still people, but the number was much smaller in comparison. I praised myself for taking a decision, which will ensure I will be well rested for tomorrow's celebration. I took a seat on a bench next to one of the bookstalls and started wondering about the details for tomorrow. We'll watch a movie, as it's always fun with friends. Go for a lunch, or just end up talking and exchanging life stories. Soon the sleepiness started engulfing my consciousness.
May I have your attention, please?
I was harshly disturbed by another announcement. It informed us that the Avantika Express is running 1 hour late. After the initial reaction of anger and disappointment, I realized the futility of such. Maybe we'll skip the movie and just spend time chatting while enjoying lunch at our usual spot. The hour went by rather smoothly thanks to sleepiness, but another transmission woke me up.
May I have your attention, please?
It was decoded into the message that the train will arrive in next 15 minutes. I decided to wash my face to regain consciousness. As I was washing my face on the faucet on the track itself, I noticed that the number of people grew significantly, probably the same amount, if not more, than the previous time. The train is entering the station, and equipped with my knowledge, I decided to run towards the incoming passenger coach. I boarded, or was rather pushed into the train as usual, and the frantic search began again. This train already had many passengers from previous station. The laughable optimism of finding a berth to sleep left the train immediately. Now let's find a place to sit. Usually meant to seat three, the benches on each side were full with at least 5 to 6 adults. There's luggage pushed underneath the seat and on the floor. The open corridor were full of people sitting in the most unique and unnatural position that would make the best contortionist in the world uncomfortable. I was braving this minefield in search of a place to at least sit, but I couldn't even find a place to stand. I thought maybe the connected car would have some luck and decided to go to it. From the looks of it, it felt like people were standing and sitting on each other. Before I could explore more, the whole train jerked and started moving. I found myself standing in gangway connection or corridor connection, the place in front of lavatory in passageway between the cars. I will save you the putrid details, but you can imagine I found myself to be in an iffy situation. There was no space or courage for me to go anywhere. Oh, that's fine. Maybe it will get better as the next station come and people will deboard. It did not happen, and the train was delayed by 4 hours by the time it reached Indore next day. Let's find few parallels between the story and the memory. Both the man in the story and I believed and in a way waited for the luck to catch up. Both of us thought that the future holds something better. You can see it in the man's action to refuse both the maiden's proposal and the offer to carry gold. I decided to skip the train where I was offered a seat and a chance to reach the destination on time. Time is relentless, and in philosophy of time, there are 3 doctrines. Presentism, which is the view that only present exists and the past is a memory and the future is prediction, but they are not real. On the other hand, eternalism, which takes the view that all existence in time is equally real. In it, past, present and future are all same. And then there is the third, growing block universe theory, which believes that the present and past are real and the future not yet. Whatever you believe in, we all know that once a moment is passed, it can never come back. It may remain a good or a bad memory, but we can never regain that time. The Dalai Lama, when asked what surprised him most about humanity, answered, "Men, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money, then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health, and then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. The result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die and then dies having never really lived." Given life's many unknowns and challenges, planning and worrying about future could be considered a natural response to many situations. But let's all try to find joy in life in every present moment and not make future the only reason for our existence. I will leave you with these thoughts from Alan Watts. "We thought of life by analogy of a journey, a pilgrimage, which had a serious purpose at the end, and the thing was to get to the end, success or whatever it is, maybe heaven after you are dead. But we missed the point the whole way along. It was a musical thing, and you were supposed to sing or to dance while the music was being played." That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. The link to the story on Project Gutenberg is available in show notes, along with all the social media pages for A Walk Within. Please come and join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Lastly, if you like the show, share it with your friends and family, It's much appreciated. And before you go, I want to once again thank all the listeners for their support of the show. Till next time, stay as awesome as you are.